All right, it's Tuesday. It's 6 p.m., even though we get off 15 minutes early for World Series Baseball out in Omaha. It's time to catch up with our good friend Gary McDaniel, ClemsonSportsNews.com. And Gary, listen, there's been a lot of conversation here on ESPN Upstate, previous show to us, about this whole Osterine thing. And, you know, to me, let's just let it rest at this. I tried to explain it off yesterday. You pay your child's tuition at Clemson or any other school for that matter, and you pick up the phone and you call to ask to see his or her schedule. They're not going to give you that information. So guess what? You're not going to get – nobody's going to get any information when it comes to this as well.
Yeah, you got the Privacy of Information Act, stuff like that. They permeated through, you know, lawyers and doctor's offices and schools. You're not allowed to go look at transcripts and stuff like that. So, yeah, I see what's going on there, and I'm with you. You know, until they can get through the internal investigation and try to find out what happened there, we're just pulling at straws. Everybody's just guessing.
Yeah, listen, people can stomp their feet, do whatever they want to. I demand an answer. I'd like to know what's going on, what went on.
Yeah.
I'm sure you would, too. Yeah. But go do some freaking homework about what can be put out and what can't be put out. And right, guess what? You're not going to pressure anybody into making this move.
Oh, no, absolutely not. It's just like it's a calculated move, just like in politics. You don't force people into making moves in politics. They're all calculated. Same thing here. You know, Clemson had to step back, you know, and look at this from a different viewpoint. They never had to deal with this before, and they're trying to figure it out themselves, you know, how these guys got this in their system, because they don't need it happening again.
You got it.
And they, you know, I mean, the sports nutrition department is under a lot of scrutiny right now. I do know that. So that's where they have most of their eyes bared at right now.
Gary McDaniel, Clemson Sports News. Gary, speaking of people who may or may not have something in their system, you used to be very heavily tied into one of the coolest heavy metal bands in the world, considered one of the big four thrash bands.
Yep.
That came out of
the big four.
That came out in the early 80s. You were involved with the band Anthrax. Tell me, who's crazier? Anthrax fans, when there's 200,000 of them in Bogota, Colombia, or Clemson Tiger fans when they're facing South Carolina at night in Death Valley?
Ooh, that's a good call. I think you've seen the videos I shared with you guys of that show in Bogota, and it's actually about 350K there, and they're headlining. And at one point, I left the mix position. I was mixing the show and videoed it, and you had 350 people. The band was playing an AC/DC cover, TNT, and 350,000 people screaming TNT back at the stage. It was absolutely awestruck. It made me just like get chills. But hey, I've had that same feeling sitting in Death Valley on a fourth down call, you know? In a late in the game, you know, I'll give you that Notre Dame game in the rain a few years ago, you know, the same kind of stuff. So it's adrenaline, any way you look at it. Music, it's more of a happy adrenaline. You go in there positive, thinking positive about your band and your fans, and with sports, you can, you know, it turns on a dime. You know, one minute you can be happy, the next minute you can be mad. That's the way it is with sports. But yeah, the adrenaline and the enthusiasm's there for both. You know, you big crowds. You know, you just put a bunch of people together, and that's what you get.
So let me ask you this, Gary, because we've had a day in which we shared stories. We had Buff Bagwell on earlier today.
Oh, I know Buff.
Yeah, they're going
to
be.
I used to work for the WCW back in the day when I lived in Atlanta.
Well, he's going to be here Thursday night. Come out and join us in Taylor's. They're going to be sharing stories at Whiskey's in Taylor's on Thursday night.
I don't make it out there, ask Buff about Charlie Magruder's.
Okay.
It was the bar we all hung out at after shows. All the band guys and the crew guys and all the wrestlers would show up at Charlie Magruder's. We called it the Cheers of Rock and Roll.
Well, guess what? He may have been there for a while earlier today, for all we know. But, you know, we were talking about when it comes to stories, the best are the true ones, because typically we aren't creative enough to come up with a grand enough lie or scheme to top the truth. So I was mentioning earlier, you know, I'm an old live sound guy, never did Bogota, Colombia with 350,000, but I went to Full Sail. And back in the day, they had a mobile recording unit, and they were recording the Allman Brothers at the old Jacksonville Civic Center, not the new arena that they have. And they're set up underneath, and they're only seeing the, you know, on a TV screen back in the day, the Allman Brothers.
Yep.
All of a sudden, Greg Allman's keyboard level just goes flat, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's pulling patch cords, everything else. For people that don't know what a patch bay is, that's how you can hook two pieces of machinery up, if you will, together. And then about 3 minutes later, they're all coming to the conclusion, oh, crap, we're getting fired tomorrow. And then Greg Allman falls out. He had passed out behind the keyboard, and it took him 3 minutes to kind of fall over to the side. What's the worst thing that's ever happened to you in a live sales situation? Yep.
Oh, wow. I'll tell you. I was in, let me think, it was Bulgaria, a festival. I was with a band called Fear Factory. I had my headphones around my neck, and we were doing line check before we went on. We were checking every gear before we go on. And a power surge went through the console, and over 400 volts went through the console. And if I had my headphones in my ears, it would have shot right through my brain and killed me. It happened to be around my neck, and it blew up around my neck.
Yeah, that's one you might want to go light a candle for later on that day.
I got a good one for you, though,
please,
guys. You guys did your wrestling thing ahead of us, right?
Yeah.
I used to tour manage Fozzy. That's Chris Jericho's band. And I'm going to tell you right now, every time we did a show with WWE, Vince McMahon would tell me, he'd come here, Gary, I can't stand to see you. And I said, why? Because you run my bill up another $80,000, all the extra audio you bring in every time. And I think the best one we ever did, we had Fozzy playing live on the stage, and then Ric Flair came out and destroyed all the band's gear. And you know, that was about another $50,000 they had to pay us.
See, I would probably say my biggest one back in the day was Pat Summitt would always come see a band out of Atlanta called 13 Stories. You probably know them more for back in the day. They did the Beep Beep song for Ford Cars. Two guys, two girls in the band. Every single time I'd have them in Knoxville, Pat Summitt and her friends would be there. But getting back to sports with Gary McDaniel from ClemsonSportsNews.com. Let me ask you. Two things going on, and really, we go into this ACC football kickoff next month with as much stability in the league football-wise as, quite frankly, I remember. I mean, is there anybody on the hot seat, so to speak, minus what Willie Taggart's dealing with at Florida State? And listen, his athletic director threw him a big lifeline today when he more or less said, listen, this was Jimbo Fisher's fault. He's the one that pulled the ripcord his final year.
Well, I mean, that's been going on for a while. The FSU press has been kind of hanging that on Jimbo's back since the day he left. Now that the administration has come in and they're using that same MO and, you know, giving Taggart some breathing room. I think they did that because they got Briles there. They're going to see how it works out with Briles, if Briles can save Taggart's career there. Because I'll be honest with you, the team absolutely quit on the guy about halfway through the season last year. And last year's Clemson game, they quit. It was, I've never seen anything like it. They just quit. As far as the rest of the league goes, man, you're right. All the way up and down, look at what Bronco Mendenhall is doing. Mm-hmm. Look what Cutcliffe is doing. Look what the guys over at Wake Forest are doing. Man, look at what's going on over at NC State. And now you got Mack Brown stepping in. Justin Fuente, now, I'm going to be honest with you, that Virginia Tech fan base is very finicky, and 8-9 wins ain't cutting it up there.
Let me also tell you, that's why you don't replace the legend. I don't care how good you felt about the job.
The guy that replaces the legend always fails. Look at Alabama. Look at Alabama. Look at Texas. You know, when Fred Akers left, all that stuff. You know.
Yeah. No doubt. All right. The one big move. I had a talk with Mark May on Sunday night. You remember from ESPN Game Day?
Oh,
with
Mr.
Lou
May,
Holtz,
the Pittsburgh offensive tackle.
Yep. And he was talking about Pitt football and where they are going, and said, "Listen, you know, granted it was a 7-6 season, but made it to our first ACC championship game this past year, but." He says the big – and I like Pat Narduzzi. Actually, I really like Pat Narduzzi because I get him every year. But
it's old school.
They are building a new football stadium, apparently, on their Oakland campus. That's what they call it there at Pittsburgh. I went and looked at the stadium design today at newpittstadium.com, and I'll put this up on our Facebook page. Diesel and I are trying to figure out if it's actually Pitt Athletics or not. But all it is pictures of the San Francisco 49ers NFL stadium with blue blocked out in the end zone to where it looked like a pit color, sections knocked off the top level in blue. I mean, really, if you're going to sell them on a new football stadium, and listen, on-campus football stadiums make a huge difference, at least get an artist rendering of what the actual stadium may look like.
Hey, R&D, research and development. You got to do the work. You got to do the work. You can't. I mean, honestly, if I had a guy walk in and try to sell that to me, and I'm the athletic director, I'd have put it out the door and say, "You go ahead and leave."
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, that's about as original as that. Just coming, bringing me a car that's already been off the showroom floor and telling me it's new. You know, the Pitt guys. If you notice that since they moved off campus years ago, they've had a dysfunctional football history of trying to keep a fan base really there. But you know what I did notice about Pitt? They travel well.
Yes.
They got a really good alumni base spread out well across the East Coast, and they travel well. But their home games are usually 50, 60% at Heinz Field. Now, I'll give you another good story. My ex-roommate in Atlanta back in the 90s was the ex-offensive guard for Dan Marino. He played on that Pitt team with Dorsett and those guys a couple of years before that. He's passed away, rest in peace, my buddy Lee Zimmerman. But, I heard a lot about Pitt football from him. But I'll be honest with you, if you went to the ACC championship game last year, they're still eons behind Clemson talent-wise. The gap is huge.
Yeah. Mark said, listen, getting back to the old uniforms brings Pitt back to what they were.
Absolutely. And getting brings back those big stickers that they used to put on there, the big stars.
Yep, and he said getting an on-campus stadium, he was really proud of it. Now, I also love what Mark May told me about last year, at the championship game. He was named an ACC football legend, and he looked at my boss and I and goes, when I got that phone call, I thought somebody was screwing with me because I never played a down in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
True that. He played as an independent, not mistaken, he was an All-American, though. Mark was a great football player in college, and he had a pretty good pro career for the Redskins, if I'm not mistaken, right?
You are correct. All right, one final thing. I guess you can confirm that Clemson assistant baseball coach Matt LaCroix is interviewing for the Charlotte 49er head coaching position.
Yeah, it's happening. You've heard it. You just went ahead and broke it out. But, yeah, he's absolutely looking into it. Matt's one of those guys that he's got a lot of respect in the area recruiting-wise. I think he would be able to move over there and build that program in a couple, 3 years and get him competitive really quick. I think it was one of those moves that was about to happen. He just grew so fast inside Clemson's program that people noticed. Everybody noticed it really quick about him. And unlike the football program where Dabo's been able to keep those guys in place, I don't think Monty's going to have, because the success is not there to hold him in place. If the team would have been a little bit more successful in the last couple of years and had some more momentum going into next year and upside, I think you might have seen him stick around for maybe one more year. But, yeah, he's heading that way.
All right, so let me ask you, we just talked about, the situation, don't follow a legend. Is that even applicable for Clemson baseball because of Jack Leggett? Because, somebody that's been here that long usually gives their approval of who the next coach is going to be, yet Clemson had to go outside the system and get Monty Lee. So is this a little bit of maybe following? Because, I hear some of my friends going, I'm not really wanting to put up with too much more of this.
Well, there's a lot of grumbling going around the fan base with Monty right now, the way the season panned out, the way he managed his pitching staff. I'll be honest with you, one of the biggest things I saw, and I'll have to be honest with you, I have to disagree with how he handled David Sharp this year. I think he should have taken him off the field and made him a pitcher for the entire season and go ahead and started getting him as his number one starter. I mean, he has hands down the best pitcher on the staff when he's fresh. And I think that's one of the things he did. Yeah, but you got the fan base is a bit like 50-50 when I walk through the stadiums at games. Some guys are still behind him 110%, and then there's folks that are just starting, kind of pull their hat off and wipe their brow and trying to figure out what's going on.
Well, I'm with you. All right, so you'll be at ACC football kickoff next month. Hopefully, if you can get up here and hang out with Buff and them Thursday night, you got a place to crash at our house. Maybe we can get Chief Spires out there with us as well. But let me know on that. But tell us, it never stops. You're probably already putting things in production for ACC football kickoff and the football season. And Gary, I might as well tell you, I know you know it already, but you're not going to see me in the press box, but maybe once or twice at Clemson, I'm going to be doing our Carolina Panthers coverage on Sundays now.
Well, you're going to have a good time. It's a great press box.
I'm ready for something.
Preston is your guy up there, the media guy. Preston, I think his name. He's a real good guy. I go up there every once in a while myself. They credential me, and I'll go up there when ex-Tigers are playing or and interview them after the games and stuff. But, yeah, great stadium, great place for you to go to work. I'm proud, happy for you. And if you need anything from Clemson, you know I'm going to be sitting in the press box and pass the word right along to you.
Oh, we're definitely going to do that. All right, hit me up about Thursday. And also, some point, I know, Diesel, you got to just be chomping at the bit to have an Anthrax conversation face-to-face with Gary.
Well, hey, I'll give you this, Diesel. A band I used to tour manage that's right here in the area, a band that's multi-platinum and has a 25-year career ongoing, they're having their reunion at my house Sunday, Jackal.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all coming over here Sunday for a reunion dinner.
I'm a big fan of Jesse James Dupree. Such a good dude.
Yeah. Hey, listen, yeah. Diesel and I are bringing the saw. We're going to come play that with them on Sunday night. All right, bud?
Come on, the lumberjack.
All right, buddy. Listen, we always appreciate you. Thanks for having a little bit of fun with us today. And there's Gary McDaniel. ClemsonSportsNews.com. Free coverage of Tiger Athletics. Give them a follow on Twitter at ClemsonSportsNews.com. And then, Diesel, if you follow Gary, he still does some stuff out there on the road from time to time. I mean, some really cool photos of, 15,000 in an arena for a show, things of that nature as well. All right, when we come back, I tell you what, we're giving way at 6:45. Let's have some fun. It's open phones, whatever you want to. But we heard George Rogers letting some people have it about their golf score at the tournament yesterday. Wait until you hear the tells of holes in ones when we come back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So, Diesel, I want to give you credit real quick. I had some fun the other night, and my mouth hit the ground. You told me about the deal on Netflix about the Fyre Festival. How many years ago was that down in the Caribbean on –
maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah, the people that lied about buying Pablo Escobar's island to hold this big music festival. And, yeah, it just happened to rain the night before and ruin everything. No, you can't plan – like the George Rogers Golf Tournament. You can't plan that in 2 months. They need to start planning next year's today. So that whole thing was absolutely hilarious. But, Diesel, what's your greatest moment in sport? I mean, your ultimate, not the win over App State. I'm talking your personal glory moment. Was it something in CrossFit? Was it something in high school football? But what's that? Let's say we have that half a drink too many in the bar one night. What's that sports moment story you're going to share with me?
Like Intercom Sports League softball?
If that's the highlight and the ultimate of your career. Mine's a hole-in-one on the golf course, all right? Number two at Chanticleer back in the 90s with witnesses in the newspaper, no less. Or eighth grade nailing a shot from behind half court at halftime of a basketball game and almost made one from three-quarter court at the end of the next period. So those are probably my two greatest sports accomplishments. Why? Because I'm short, and basketball was my favorite sport, and I was no Spud Webb or Muggsy Bogues. We heard George Rogers talking about the scores coming in yesterday, going, I ain't believing this team just shot a 49. Let me share two stories that will give you hope as a golfer as well, all right? Obviously, making a hole-in-one is not only difficult, it's pretty rare. As a matter of fact, the odds are stacked against a professional golfer making a hole-in-one. The odds are 3,000 to 1 for a professional golfer to make a hole-in-one, while the odds for your average player making a hole-in-one jump to 12,500 to 1. A hole-in-one is scored once every 3,500 rounds, making them that's pretty hard to come by. The chances of that, what do you think the chances of the average golfer making a hole-in-one on back-to-back days, Diesel? Again, all right, an older golfer, an older average golfer. Again, an average golfer, 12,500 to 1 for a single hole in one. Play the game with me. Go outrageous because it jumps exponentially. According to Golf Digest, what is the chance to one of an amateur that is 75 years old making a hole in one on back to back days? 5.7 million to one. Jim Baker of Reno, Nevada celebrated his 75th birthday on June 9th. On June 13th, while playing golf with his men's group at his home course of Somerset Country Club, he scored a hole-in-one on the 15th hole. The next day, playing with a different foursome at the same club, he scored another hole-in-one on the third hole. He had never had one. Back-to-back day, scores a hole-in-one. So you're telling me there's still a chance for Diesel? So that's pretty special. 75 years old, back-to-back hole-in-ones. May not believe a minute of it if you didn't know he had witnesses for both holes and ones. So you're thinking, man, that's one of the coolest stories I've ever heard. I'd already found this, printed it out, wanted to bring it up about there's still a chance. You're telling me there's still a chance? And not 15 to 20 minutes later, Golf Digest comes and tops it. Probably a lot of me in a nightclub late at night. You got a story? Let me top it. I can admit that. I'm fallible when it comes to that. But it gets better. Last week, 81-year-old Chuck Miller made two aces at the Cortez course in Hot Springs, Arkansas in the same round. 81 freaking years old. The first came on the 12th hole. He was playing it as a 135-yard par 3. The second at the 138-yard 17th hole. In both, this is why I know I'm getting older. In both instances, 135-yard, 138-yard, Miller used a 6-iron. You just don't hit the ball as far when you're 81 years old. He said, when the first one went in the 12th hole, I was really excited. It was the greatest shot over the front bunker onto the green. It bounced once or twice and went into the cup. We all started jumping up and down and shouting. Then he tells the truth, Diesel. I sculled my tee shot on number 17. It never got much off the ground, hit the ground only about 70, 80 yards from the tee. Since the ground was dry and the hill sloped downwards, the ball continued to roll. It rolled past the front left bunker guarding the green, rolled onto the green. Once it got there, one of my playing partners yelled, "It's going to go in the hole, and we'll clean it up. I've already reached my number of limits with you today." And he said, "The dadgum thing, and dadgum it if it didn't. I was thrilled, but I couldn't believe such a lousy shot ended up in the hole. I guess it proved what my dad said to me when I first began playing. It's not how, but how many." On top of it, this man shot his age just a couple of days earlier at 81 years old. That's a pretty special golfer right there if you can shoot your age at 81 years old. So which one of these guys or both of them, Diesel, would you like to take to the casino with you? I mean, 5.7 million to one chance for an amateur to score an ace in back-to-back rounds on consecutive days. I don't even know the numbers of what happens for two holes in one in the same day. So that's pretty good. That is next level. And guess what? The best part about it, to me, Diesel, it gives me hope. We were sharing stories about a 75 and an 81-year-old man, and guess what? I'm getting there a lot quicker than you are. You can get in with us real quickly. Remember, we're giving away 6:45. It's going to be championship baseball potentially tonight. Michigan up 1-0 in the best of 3 championship series in Omaha. They will take on Vanderbilt. Game number 2, a chance to knock off the Commodores, who are a previous national champion, and for the Wolverines to win their first since 19. 19- 1962. Again, game number two from Omaha coming up here on ESPN Upstate at 6:45. We'll come back. We'll close up shop, couple of news and notes, tell you a little bit about tomorrow as well, because we'll be right back here in the Health There studio, Diesel and I. 844-GSP-ESPN. All right, welcome back in. Final few minutes of the show. We've had some fun today. I want to thank Buff Bagwell for getting in with us. Gary McDaniel, not to mention Ron Gossett, coming by in studio. If you want a chance at a couple of tickets for Thursday night, tell you what, just call us right now, 844-GSP-ESPN. That's 844-477-3776. Give Diesel your name. We will have two tickets at the front desk at 25 Garlington Road beginning tomorrow for you. So, again, 844-GSP-ESPN. If you want to get out, hear some storytelling by Buff Bagwell, Johnny Swinger, Vinny Bucci, some people like that. Thursday night at Whiskey's in Taylor's. All right, Diesel. Braves last night, 8-3 loss. Listen, it's not bad to it's not a bad thing to lose. You go up to Chicago. Things got a little heated there early. Chicago managed to grow off that, feed off that, if you will, jump out to an 8-3 lead and take the win by that number. But let's see how Atlanta responds tonight up there at Wrigley Field. Also, we're going to talk about this a little bit tomorrow, but Diesel, there was a situation with a Kansas City sport talk show host this weekend. He's with WBH 810 AM in Kansas City. Our boss has actually heard of that station. He went off on a tangent about Andy Reid, the Kansas City Chiefs head coach, and why Andy Reid was not capable of making decisions for the franchise, a la looking back at the Tyreek Hill situation, you know, keeping him around after the domestic violence. He kind of compared Andy Reid, and I want to ask you if this is fair. We'll get into it a little bit more tomorrow. Is it fair to hold people accountable for the transgressions of what a child has done? For people that don't know, Andy Reid's son passed away. He had a substance abuse issue, some other things as well. This sports talk show host in Kansas City went so far as to say, more or less paraphrasing, and I hate to say it like this, but if you can't raise your own child, how are you supposed to make decisions at the NFL level for men? Is that taking it too far when it comes to sports, which is a business? But in all reality, it's supposed to be our entertainment. It's to get away from the real life. Those are things that happen in real life. And that kind of disgusted me. Because bad things happen to good people every single day. You can go out here and get in your car, not be doing anything wrong. Last night, coming back from Columbia, dude pulls on to I-26 from the lane coming off the exit, coming onto the interstate, never stopped in the right lane, went in all the way over to the left lane, right in front of me, never saw me there. I would have been not at fault. But guess what? With the weather, that would have ended up in a bad situation. So good things happen to bad people all the time. Did the sports talk show host, his name is Kevin Kitesman, again, WHB 810 AM, he compared Reed's ability as a father being the reason that he did not handle the Tyreek Hill situation. Is this taking the judgment factor of fandom way too far, in your opinion? Because to me, it does. I mean, listen, we had a terrible incident with my brother in 1986, committed suicide. He was ill, mentally ill. Neither my mom, my dad, my brothers, or I should be held accountable for that. Because you know what? We did everything we could to get him the help that he needed. He just did. He used to look at us and say, if you think I need help, then you're the crazy one. So you can't, the saying prevails, you can't help people that don't want to be helped. And that's why Kevin Kitesman went way too far in saying that if you can't raise your son, then you this is probably the reason that you're making these bad mistakes as a coach in the NFL. And shame on you, Kevin Kitesman. Now, he's been on Twitter all over the place saying, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. But you go back and we'll play you the audio tomorrow. It's exactly what he meant. And you know what? When you start judging other people's parental capabilities in a public format, shame on you, because one of the biggest things you will learn as a parent at some point is don't be afraid to make a mistake. Just don't make that same mistake twice. So a sad, sad situation going on down there in Kansas City. We'll get into that a little bit more tomorrow, as well as the New York Mets dysfunction that's going on. The story that broke this morning, absolutely next level. I mean, I can't imagine Earl Weaver back in the day is manager of the Baltimore Orioles ever taking that phone call. We'll tell you about that tomorrow as well. We'll have a college football question of the day as well. And I'm going to reach out to Scott Kiefer from the Greenville News. Did you realize there was enough juice diesel for him to put out an article today? Three things you don't know about Trevor Lawrence. And if you don't know who Trevor Lawrence is at this point in time, shame on you. You're not that big of a football fan. But we're reaching out to Scott Kiefer and a few other things. And again, whether we're off at 6:45 or 7 o'clock, that will be determined by what's coming up next. And that is game number 2 of the College World Series at TD Ameritrade Park in Omaha, Nebraska. Michigan got a 7-3 win last night. They're trying to win the national championship for the Big Ten. I asked yesterday, when is the last time a Big Ten team won a national championship in baseball? It was the Michigan Wolverines in 1962. So nearly 58 years later, I guess they get the chance to write this ship. So enjoy Kevin Kugler, the whole crew, when it comes to the College World Series, game number 2. Also, go to ESPNUpstate.com. Check out Diesel's article on conference realignment as well. But in the meantime, we hope you have a great evening. Enjoy it. And guess what? We'll be right back here in the Health Air studio at 4 p.m. tomorrow for another edition of Straight Up at Sturge.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.